FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 7319. Well, we saw the breakout in gold. Again, it's trading over $1,400 the ounce. And are happy days here again? That's the question. Well, our good friend is with us, Eric Haddock, InsideTrack.com with two I's. First, don't forget the Bitcoin contest. And all you have to do is guess what the price will be midnight of July 20th. Get your entry in by July 14th. Grand prize, 40 U.S. silver pre-1965 quarters for the grand prize winner. And for the first five runners up, you'll each get one. Prizes go up. If we get over 1,000 entries, we'll give out 100 to the winner and 10 each to each of the first five runners up. It's real simple to enter. Just send me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. Put Bitcoin in the subject line and then put your guess there and we'll see what happens. Anyway, Eric is back with us now, insidetrack.com. Remember, that's inside, I-N-S-I-I-D-E track.com. And we're talking about gold. Eric, welcome back. So gold broke out past its resistance points into 1400 plus territory, went down a little bit for a couple of days. It's back up again. What is happening in the market here?
Well, thanks for having me back, Kerry. And as you said, gold really finally broke through those the highs that we had seen from 2016 all the way up until early 2019. And it was interesting to me that that range had kind of created a range target that dovetailed perfectly with my 1 to 2 year, my first or primary 1 to 2 year upside target. And I stress that that's just what I believe is the first in a sequence of upside targets, but also somewhere where the market was likely to kind of hesitate and maybe set a new plateau. But that that 1 to 2 year upside target has been up to 1445, from 1410 up to 1445, but most of the resistance and targets were right around 1445. It's where several wave projection targets came into play. And then, as I said, on a intermediate basis, gold had really set a nice range between 1270, 1275 really, and 1360. And what you often see with markets is once, if they have set a pretty clear, predefined range like that, when they break out of it, they will often double that range very quickly. And sure enough, gold with that basically $85 range from 1275 up to 1360 broke above 1360 and shot right up to 1445, aligning with all these other targets. And I also had some weekly things coming into play there last week. So I think that gold has certainly reached its next plateau. I think that we could see some kind of backing and filling around this range. Wouldn't surprise me to see a brief spike above it. But I think there's going to be, it's going to take a little time to now find a new floor under gold. And that floor could be the breakout resistance down around 1360 to 1375. That's another thing about range breakouts, is often the market, once it has expended its initial upside energy, will come back and retest where it broke out. That resistance level has now become support. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a test of strength. The market's going back down there saying, okay, you know, is this a true breakout? Are we going to stay up in this new area? And so it'll bounce off that previous resistance a couple times before getting ready to undergo a new advance. So all that to say is we've gone right up to this target, 1445. Since September of last year, my timing objective, I was looking for two primary peaks in gold. And again, I thought they'd be a succession of higher highs. But the first one was for late February, early March, and the second was for late June, early July. So we're right in that time frame too. So I'm just looking to see if gold gives any signs of peaking, since it's right at these price and timing targets, and where we go from there.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, you think we're at an intermediate plateau? You think that's what's going to happen here till the end of the year? Or can we go higher from here?
I think that once it establishes that a high is in place, and again, I could see brief spikes above it. The market always kind of overshoots levels like that. That's not unusual. But I think it will develop a plateau and wait until really the next cycle low comes into play, which diverges a little in the different metals. In fact, I'm just kind of preparing some analysis on that. Once it's complete and published, I'd be happy to send samples to your listeners. But I think that what we'll need to see is that this plateau happen, a bit of a correction, and then set a higher bottom, a higher low, out when these cycles align again. And from there, I think you'll see a rally to higher highs leading into the later part of the year and then carrying over into 2020.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So we could be seeing this for quite a while. And obviously, not unexpectedly, not surprisingly, silver has lagged gold, which it often does. At what point do you think silver gets involved in the rally?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by U.S. Gold Corp. U.S. Gold Corp. is a U.S.-focused gold exploration and development company advancing high-potential projects in Wyoming and Nevada. U.S. Gold Corp. has consolidated a district on Nevada's productive Cortex Trend and is advancing the Copper King project towards production in Wyoming. Led by a team of prolific company builders and renowned explorers, including Dave Mathewson, who is directly responsible for several major Nevada gold discoveries, U.S. Gold Corp. is well-capitalized and has an extremely tight share structure with less than 20 million shares outstanding and trades on the NASDAQ, a major exchange, under the ticker symbol USAU. To learn more, go to usgoldcorp.gold. That's usgoldcorp.gold.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, I think there's a couple things starting to work in its favor, but those things often need to really convince traders. But, you know, whereas gold has frequently and repeatedly rallied on different types of uncertainty in the market or uncertainty where the dollar's concerned, even throw in some of the geopolitical uncertainty, that usually doesn't do a whole lot for silver. Silver benefits more when you start to see some price inflation creeping into the market. And I think that you are slowly seeing that with the grain markets and some other commodities starting to not only move higher but hold their gains. You're now seeing a bit of vulnerability in the dollar, where it saw an initial drop from that 98 resistance, 98 on the dollar index. It dropped down in June, got to about within 25-30 ticks of my downside target for June. Looks like we'll see some bouncing around in there for a little bit, but I think the dollar has another shoe to drop, which could take that dollar index down below 93.50. Mm. And I think that would be the type of thing where you start to see silver and some other inflation-related markets benefit more than they have just on these other factors up till now.
Right. So you think we're going to see more inflation? Is that baked into the cake?
I think that we are going to see a limited period of price inflation. And I think that just like we're seeing in the grain markets, that it could be a more result of supply challenges. You know, the weather has certainly stressed them, and then some dollar weakness in there too, but not the level of inflation that people normally associate with using that term, and probably not even something that the Fed's going to get. You know, they'll have their cycle or two of starting to mention it, but not the type of sustained and convincing inflation that that we've seen at other key times in the past.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Because there's so much money floating around the world, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, maybe they've got it properly contained. I don't know. It's worked certainly for a lot of years. The question is, can it keep working? Hey, quickly, let's just catch up on oil and interest rates. Interest rates, I think you'd been calling for them to head lower, and they have, in fact, done exactly that. So what's ahead for them?
Well, when I'm looking at the bonds and notes futures, which is really where most of my focus is directed, I have been expecting a peak in them in June, actually. And they initially gave that right around mid-June, but I have not yet seen any convincing signs of a reversal lower. So I've got a lot of upside objectives met, the cycles coming into play, that all of that is arguing for a downturn, but price action has not really validated that yet. On a 3 to 6 month basis, yes, I still kind of think we are going to see bonds and notes work a little lower in the second half of the year as opposed to the rally they've seen for the first half of the year. And that would, you know, equate to the opposite in interest rates, where there's at least the perception that interest rates have either bottomed or are not going any lower, you know, however you kind of term that from one Fed meeting to another. It's worded differently, but that there could be things that start to put a little upside pressure on rates and downside pressure on the bond market. And whether that's some of this price inflation that I mentioned, or some economic reports that come out a little bit better than they have recently. I'm not looking for anything dramatic at this point, but a drifting lower in the bond market during the second half of the year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about oil? It's been quite volatile as of late.
Yeah, oil, it has been, but it has also adhered to some pretty good price targets and price ranges. On the downside, $51 basis, the crude futures, it was the August crude that I was focused on, was the downside target I'd published in June, and we got right down to there, spiked a little bit below it. And then on the rebound, there was pretty strong resistance and upside targets just below 60, coming into play at like 59.20 to 59.80. And crude rallied up to there, immediately came back off of there. So it is kind of this range trading, and based on a couple of key indicators I use, it's telling me that that crude and probably the products will eventually make their way back down to those early June lows and probably dip under the $50 point. But for the most part, I think we've set a major low back in late December and set a 3 to 6 month peak in late April. And I'm looking for crude to kind of stay within that range and see your 2 to 3 week swings as we have been seeing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, interesting times ahead, that's for sure. And I guess, well, we'd be remiss, as long as we have you on, not asking your opinion on the stock markets. What's ahead for that?
I think that, the stock market is also confined to a wide trading range, and the magnitude of the cycles that came into play both last September and October on the upside and in late December on the downside just told me to look for a lot of trading within that range. We're now getting back up towards those September-October highs in a lot of indexes. Probably see a spike above that, but I'm not looking for a whole lot of upside follow-through right now. And one index that's kind of been, it often gives lead signals, and it's set up for one of those again now, is the Dow Transport. But the July 5th, the weekly close, is going to be the key for me. And if that index can close back below 10,490 or so, that would be an indication to me that that we're setting an intermediate top, and that we're going to see a 1 or 2 month sell off. But there again, kind of like I was talking with energy markets, I think that you've set a pretty defined trading range, and it's going to be the intermediate swings within that range. So I'm not looking for anything dramatic in third quarter. And depending on if and when this maybe 2 to 4 week decline, maybe 1 to 2 month decline unfolds, that's going to really give me some critical data moving forward as far as honing the outlook for the rest of 2019 and even into 2020.
Okay. Well, interesting times ahead, like I said before. And I guess we're going to just have to sit back and wait for things to progress. But so far, you know, the gold price seems to be cooperating. And I guess maybe it'll hit a plateau or maybe not. And probably the fourth quarter of the year, though, that's when the seasonality of the metal always kind of asserts itself most years, right?
Yeah, yes.
So, all right. Hey, so besides InsideTrack.com, that's inside with two I's, what are your other sites that we should look for?
Well, a lot of the archived publications and reports, any that touch on the topic of a 40-year cycle can be found at 40yearcycle.com. And there's a lot of overlap between the two sites. That one just has a bit more focus on this recurring economic and currency cycle that we've seen every 40 years during our nation's lifespan. And that 2017 to 2021 was really the latest phase of that cycle. So those types of reports and analysis can be found at 40yearcycle.com. That's the number 40yearcycle.com.
All right.
And other than that, Inside Track, it's actually insidetracktrading.com now, but if you put in Inside Track, it'll redirect you to Inside Track Trading.
Right. All right, I've been lazy, so as long as it forwards through, I wouldn't want to give people a dead URL. Hey, in any event, just check the link in the site, in the show notes to this interview. Again, check out our newsletter. Just sign up for it, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, Twitter feed at Carrie Lutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Eric, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Carrie. Have a great weekend. Have a good fourth.
And yourself. Thanks.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.